Welcome to the Solution Focused Schools Unlimited podcast series. My name is Dr. Linda Metcalf, and I'm the author of Counseling Towards Solutions, the first book published in 1995, now in its third printing with Routledge, has taken the solution-focused approach into schools all over the world, kindergarten through 12th grades. Go to Routledge.com or do a Google search, Counseling Towards Solutions. Today, I had a chance to visit with many participants who came to the Solution Focused School Conference 2 weeks ago. It was a day where I promised them that what we would do is gather together many of the ideas that were shared in the conference and see how we can put it together into building a Solution Focused School. Whenever I do workshops like this, one of the first things I do is ask, what are some successes you've had in the past week or so since I've talked to you? I'm always interested in what happens in between times when I get to talk to people, because I often ask them to go out and watch for times when things go better. Those are called seeking exceptions. Exceptions can be the smallest thing. It could be a time when a third grader suddenly picks up a pencil and pays attention to a teacher after too many minutes of getting off track and chasing things around the room. It could be a time when a junior in high school who normally does fairly well on a test suddenly doesn't do so well on a test, but then the next day comes up and turns in homework and the homework is correct. And you say, wow, I know that test was challenging for you, but this homework is outstanding. How did you do that? How did you know to turn it in to me on time? How did you know to look in that particular resource and get the answer? Wow, I'm impressed with you. It's also times when maybe a younger student who typically gets in trouble for misbehavior comes into class, sits down, maybe puts their head down, but occasionally raises their head up and listens to the instruction. Maybe even joins in a group and participates. And a teacher might notice it. And if with a student like that, the teacher did walk over, tap them on the shoulder towards the end of class and say, you know, I noticed that you really participated in group today, and I noticed that the other students seemed to really enjoy how engaged you were. Thanks. I'm quite impressed with you. Okay if I write a note home and let your mom know how well you did today? I can't imagine a student who sometimes gets in trouble minding getting a note to take home like that. And as a result, just imagine what the evening might be like for that young person when mom gets a note like that. And after that evening is over, how do you imagine the student would come to school the next day? It's something to think about. It's very powerful. This approach takes it to so many different levels, and all it really needs for us to do is watch out for exceptions. Today, when I was talking to some participants online, I learned about the many ways that they had tried seeking exceptions over the past 2 weeks. One gentleman from a school district that I'm very fond of told me about a young man who had quite a few behavior issues. And the school counselor and administrator had tried all kinds of things to get him to behave, yet not really very much helped. So today, this very bright school counselor asked the young man if the way that he was in class was really who he was at all. In other words, who are you really? Do people get to see the person you really are in class? And apparently, it was quite impressive for the student, who looked up at the school counselor eventually and said, no, they don't really know who I am. And for the rest of the time, the school counselor did remarkable work in eliciting from the student who he really was and what he could really do when he went back into class that day. And he did go back into the class after their conversation. And apparently things went so well, the teacher came to find the counselor and say, what did you do? He has been amazing in my class. Can I send more kids to you?" We all kind of laughed online at this counselor who's probably going to be overwhelmed even more with kids. And he was laughing too, saying, "Yes, they're sending all these kids to me." Sure. But you see, here's the thing. Solution-focused approach is not just for school counselors, it's for teachers and administrators and parents. There's been even some students that have learned it when it comes to learning to do mediation between their peers. So while this wonderful school counselor knew, obviously, the questions to ask this young person so that he would go back to class and show the side of him he was the proudest of, teachers can ask that question too. So if you are a school counselor, instead of working so hard, occasionally, in front of a student, ask a teacher, "I wonder, would you watch for things that tells you the kind of student he is? Would you just watch and look at the student and say, show her who you really are as a student?" And teachers too, in addition to that, when they come in, complain about a student or say that they just don't know if they can handle it much more in the classroom with that student, teach them that they can. Let them know, yes, you can. Say to them, instead of trying to fix anything, and again, please, 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 we don't fix kids. We want our teachers to learn how to connect with them, connect with the students. Teach your teachers to watch for exceptions. Or rather, maybe I should say, suggest to your teachers that they watch for exceptions, times when that student is slightly on track, when they slightly pay attention, when they don't knock somebody over when they go to recess, when they don't move out of the line when they're lining up going to the cafeteria, when they do turn in one piece of homework a week, when they do take time to pick up something somebody dropped. Notice those times. And when they do, tell them, of all things, do not praise. Please don't praise. Instead, walk up to kids and go, "Wow, I noticed that you picked that up for Susie and she was having a hard time. Wow, I'm amazed at you." Or, "I noticed that you didn't get out of line today. Instead, you were a model student showing us all how to walk." That talk builds competency. Its solutions-focused approach is so adaptable to what social-emotional learning is. Because when we tell our kids what they're doing and we ask how they've done it, and they begin to describe it to us, they're learning about themselves. And that lesson is something they'll hold close. Want to summarize this podcast by telling you a story about a young person. He was a fourth grade student. He was my student. And his mom and dad had divorced and his mom had left. And so dad had sole custody and was a single parent, and he struggled. He tried his best and he did do quite well. But for somehow, one day, the young boy decided that he just could not let go of his dad when he dropped him off at school. He was so determined to not let dad go that he grabbed on to dad's pants leg and would not let go. Dad tried to go to work and leave school. The little boy literally hung on to his pants leg, and dad drug him across a hallway and stopped. He couldn't go any further. So they sent the young man to me and to my colleague, who was an intern at the time, and she began to talk to the young man, and she learned how sad he was that his mom had gone and that he missed his dad when he went to work. He was afraid dad would go away too and not come back. Unfortunately, the talk did very little to change his behavior, and very soon he was in fights at school and he was sent to alternative campus. At the alternative campus, he did beautifully. He was in a smaller classroom, about 10 students. He had a lot of attention. And one important ingredient of the alternative school was that they didn't allow parents to walk kids into school. And so dad would drop him off, and a teacher would meet them at the sidewalk and walk in the young man. And so we went along, and my colleague worked with the young man while he was at the alternative school, and he did so well, they all thought, wow, if he could only stay with us. But of course, he had to go back. So when my colleague came in and we were brainstorming, how will we help him transition back to school? Because I knew that when we go from one context to another, unless we connect with the new context, sometimes it can make all the difference in success or not success. So I asked her, I said, okay, Kelly, I wonder, what do you think is happening in alternative school that we can bring back to the home campus? And she said, well, definitely the smaller classroom. If there's any way that maybe he could sit in ISS classroom in the morning just for a little while and kind of get into the groove of school, that seems to help him. Okay, what else do you think? And she said, well, for sure, you know, the idea of giving him a timeout certainly has helped at alternative school. He hardly ever needs those anymore. And one more thing I mentioned to her, I said, you know, it seems like it was really tough for him to let go of Dad, yet at the alternative school, that didn't happen. And she said, right, because Dad couldn't walk him into the building. And we looked at each other and said, that needs to be something we try at the home campus. So we contacted the home campus, who didn't have that luxury of meeting kids at the curbside, and asked if, just for the first week or so back, could a teacher, secretary, someone meet Dad at the sidewalk as he dropped off the young student. And they agreed to try it. We also arranged it with home campus that he would come into the first class period, go into the ISS classroom, kind of get acclimated to school. After he said goodbye to Dad, we also arranged for him to call Dad one time in the morning just to make sure Dad was doing okay. That seemed to be very helpful to the young man. He had done that at the alternative school because he had such good behavior. With that happening, he went back to school and did beautifully and didn't have any more issues. You know, sometimes those little things, like just noticing the fact that by not dropping him off at school can make a difference. Instead, walking in didn't seem to work so well. Those little things, those tiny exceptions, those exceptions of noticing that he did well in a small classroom, that when he had a reward such as calling his dad, that worked. Those kinds of things are discoverable. And when we discover them, we have answers and solutions that keep our students on track. So this week, just for this week, possibly, do your best to put on a different set of glasses, exception-seeking glasses. Think of the most challenging students you've got, just one or two, and seek out, watch them, walk by their classrooms, peek in and see what you can notice them doing that you can go crazy over. Pull them out when you can. Say, oh my gosh, I saw you do this in that classroom. Or, oh my goodness, I talked to your teacher. She said you turned in one of the best essays ever. Let them know that you've looked and you've noticed and you learned that they have been successful. And just let them see amazement on your face. Because amazement is much more powerful than compliments or praise. It makes our students be aware that they have expertise inside every single one of them. May the solution force be with you. I will see you at the next SF Connection in November. If you like the ideas in this podcast, I'd like to invite you to visit my website. Simply Google Solution Focused Schools Unlimited. It will pop up and you will see many, many free resources, including the bi-weekly SF Connection I just mentioned. Every 2 weeks, I meet with people from around the world at 12 noon Central Standard Time and share ideas for school counselors, teachers, any educator teaching any students anywhere. Together, We talk about ways to reach all kinds of situations to where we can make things go better for students, parents, and teachers. So join me. It is free. You get a free CEU. Again, go to my website, Solution Focused Schools Unlimited, where you will find all kinds of resources and a place to sign up for not only the SF Connection, but also for something else that I do every Monday called Monday Ideas. That's a weekly message that I send out every Monday to people all over the world, giving them something to think about as they work in schools that week. Hopefully, you'll check it out and you'll be on the next SF Connection with me. Have a great week.